It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. In the United States, the final vote for president is based on the Electoral College, a group of people elected to vote on their state's behalf. But the 2000 presidential election, when Al Gore got more of the popular vote than George W. Bush but didn't win the Electoral College, energized a move to modify the rules. The National Popular Vote Movement has a goal of getting states to switch from an indirect election to a direct election, where popular vote would determine who becomes president. Recently, the movement got a shot in the arm when the effort in California, which had been vetoed twice by Republican former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, gained support from GOP Assemblyman Brian Nestande. Nestande says the current system affects states like California, where the outcome is already fairly predictable, and it leaves the candidates in that state without support from a presidential candidate.
And so what that does, though, to candidates locally is it somewhat demoralizes your campaign and also, I think, somewhat cheats the voters out of the experience of having a presidential candidate in your party come to campaign with down-ballot, down-ticket candidates to say, as the leader of the party, here is our message. Here's where we want to take America, and bring that to the statewide elected office holders, down to congressional assembly, even city council members.
So far, 8 states have enacted Electoral College reform into law based on the National Popular Vote movement. Joining us to discuss the National Popular Vote effort is Ray Hands, a former Republican California Assemblyman and former National Chair of the American Legislative Council Exchange. Ray, welcome to Here and Now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Also here is Pam Wilmot, Executive Director of Common Cause Massachusetts, where she has championed the National Popular Vote movement. Pam, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Let's find out why this is a good idea, first of all. What are the main points the National Vote movement is making?
Well, National Popular Vote will mean that every vote will count and count in every election in every state. The current system means there's only about 5 to 15 states, depending on the election, who really choose the president. Because of the winner-take-all rule, if you get 50% plus one in your state, you get all of that state's electors. And that means that Republicans have no reason to campaign in the states where they're going to win, and Democrats have no reason to campaign in those same states because they can't possibly win. So what a national popular vote movement means is every vote counts in every state.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, basically what's happening right now is there are what we'd call 35 spectator states. Okay. People who watch the presidential campaign occur, but they don't have any input into the process simply because of the way they award their electors. National Popular Vote takes the constitutional system that currently allows state legislatures to determine how they award their electors. We use that system in order to award the electors to the winner of the National Popular Vote in all 50 states.
Why maintain the Electoral College at all? I know that it will be retained to some extent. In this case, why does that matter?
Well, the Electoral College actually has a very, very important function on a national level. You want to keep the elections state-based. You want to have the state legislatures being in charge of the rules of elections, how people are selected for those elections. You really don't want Congress sticking its nose into the state's business. And the Electoral College stops that. Right now, we have 50 separate elections in 50 separate states because of the Electoral College. What this does is it keeps that system in place by keeping the state legislatures in charge of the elections, but it awards the electors to the winner of the National Popular Vote.
Frankly, this is an issue that I think our conservative friends care more about than the liberal side of the aisle, but it does retain the power of the states vis-a-vis the federal government, so that does not change under our proposal. A constitutional amendment would change that balance of power, and that's something that's very important. And this is a truly bipartisan effort. It's left, right, middle, and it's really a nice effort in that way.
Ray, walk me through it a little bit more, though. Why is it, based on the new system, that those 35 states that we sort of know, okay, we know what California's going to go, we know Texas is going to go, why are those not going to be spectator states now?
Well, because the winner of the National Popular Vote gets the electors in the folks that have signed on to the compact, which means that every single vote in every single state is important because the electors of that state can go to one party or the other, depending on what happens on a national level, not just what happens in that state.
So what it would be is instead of now having that red and blue map that we see and the election being called for those in the West before they're stopping voting, it would be a ticker, just like a gubernatorial race, just like every other election in this country. who gets the most votes. And that is, a democratic principle, small d democratic, that we can all agree with.
How many times has the U.S. been affected by that? Obviously, the year 2000 comes up with Gore versus Bush, but what about others?
4 out of 56 elections. So it wasn't just in 2000. It was 3 times in the 1800s as well. But we've narrowly missed that 5 out of the past 12 elections. Think about 2004. George Bush was ahead 3.5 million votes, but if he had won John Kerry had won Ohio by about 60,000 more votes, we would have had the same thing in 2000, just one election later, and that would have been with the popular vote winner losing the Electoral College. And I guess I said we've narrowly missed that many, many times.
Ray, where does the movement stand right now? How many states need to adopt this in order for it to become a reality?
Well, the states that need to adopt this have to have electors equal to 270 total number of electors. Okay. That 270 is a win in the presidential. If you get 270 electoral votes, you win the election. This takes effect when that occurs. We're about 30% of the way there right now.
And how much say, if any, would Congress have? If enough states go forward with it, does Congress have any say in this?
That's open to debate. We're going to go to Congress and have them approve the compact, but truthfully, we don't need it.
Pam, have you been surprised by how the movement's been accepted across the U.S.? I've seen polls that indicate how, polls are...
This is a very popular concept. This is an issue that Gallup has been polling since the 40s, and we've always been in the high 60s to mid 70s, and even higher occasionally. We typically get a better bump up around the election when people are hearing Ohio, 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 Florida, 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 and their state isn't included. For Arizona, you were not a battleground state in 2008. You contributed quite a bit of money and that was spent in other states, not in your own state. Mm-hmm. National popular vote would mean that money would stay here in Arizona. Your issues would count just as much as those in Ohio. And I'm not surprised, given that level of public support and the real principles behind our effort.
Right,
I was going to say, actually, Arizonans buy a very, very expensive ticket in the presidential election game, and they get really bad seats. The idea behind the national popular vote is to give Arizonans better seats in the stadium and make them actual participants in the process of electing the president.
And how much could that affect things down the ticket? We heard a quote earlier about city council members as far as congressional races, as far as board of supervisors, that kind of thing.
So typically when a state goes from a safe state to a battleground state, turnout goes about 10%. And similarly, when you go from a battleground state down to a safe state, it drops. So what this would mean is you'd be a battleground every election. So that would mean more participation in all of your races that are on at least the ballot at the same time, maybe not quite as much. So it really is about involving everybody in this most important election in the country.
There is criticism from some that small states would be affected and would be forgotten about. Ray, what do you think?
Well, and the way to deal with that is take a look at what happens right now. There are 13 states right now where there are 4 or fewer electoral college votes involved, okay, in each of the individual states. Of those 13 states, 6 are reliably Democrat and 6 are reliably Republican. And as a result, right now, they have no input in the process. Only one is a battleground state, that's New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and the presidential campaigns go there. Quite frankly, under this system, the votes in those states would become much, much more important.
The way that the current system works, it really doesn't help small states. People learn that in civics, but it's wrong. The current system helps battleground states. So if you're a small state and you're safe, and you're a big state that are safe, your vote counts equally, and that's essentially nothing in the current system. Under a popular vote system, they all count the same.
Ray, how about California? The idea that an actual Republican assemblyman seems to be in favor of this. Do you see momentum changing in a state like that where Arnold Schwarzenegger, I guess, vetoed twice the movement going forward? How much do you see a change in California?
Well, actually, we are seeing a strong bipartisan move in California right now because, quite frankly, people in California see the same thing that people in Arizona see, is that a vote in Arizona and a vote in California mean exactly the same thing in a presidential election, and that means absolutely nothing. In California, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you want California to be important to the president, and right now it's not. And so we're starting to see a shift on all sides. Yes, Schwarzenegger vetoed it. But at that time, you had unanimous Republican opposition. Today, there are a number of Republican supporters in the California legislature.
Pam, quick thoughts?
Just that, you know, small states, people think, oh, they'll just be completely ignored. And frankly, Arizona is not a small state. We're not going to be swamped by California. You can't afford to leave millions of votes on the table. And frankly, some of our smaller states have very cheap media markets. They're going to be very cheap places for presidents to campaign in. And that is, the election really will be a 50-state campaign. California is not going to dominate us. And I know that's some of the things that you're... listeners might be thinking about.
Finally, for both of you, how much does it matter that the current electoral college system for a lot of people is difficult to understand? How much does that help the movement?
I think that helps. I think at the bottom line, people believe that the candidate with the most votes should win and that every vote should count and count the same. So that is where we start off. And we do have education to do. Absolutely. That's a very critical part of this campaign. Ultimately, I think the people are with us.
Ray, final thoughts?
No, I have to agree. The biggest challenge of presidential campaigns today is that because of the winner-take-all-by-state system, they're regional campaigns on regional issues. This turns it into a national campaign on national issues, and I think that's good for the country.
Ray Haines is a former Republican California Assemblyman, former National Chair of the American Legislative Council Exchange. Pam Wilmot is Executive Director of Common Cause Massachusetts, where she's championed the National Popular Vote Movement. Thank you both for joining us on Here and Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And still to come, we'll talk with the latest candidate for mayor of Phoenix, Peggy Neely. That's as Here and Now continues.